Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
Welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, and we are still here in Las Vegas, Nevada at the JW Marriott Resort and Spa at the National Hockey Coaches Symposium. Today we're talking with Jeff Blashill, who is the head coach of the Grand Rapids Griffins, who are the AHL affiliate of the Detroit Red Wings. Jeff, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You just got off the stage presenting on creating good habits with players and speaking to over 450 coaches, and then I'm sure a lot of them cornered you after the presentation. Just what are some of your thoughts about being here and talking to such a group of dedicated coaches?
Well, I think it's great. I think these are great opportunities to learn and learn from each other. And a lot of times I think when I've been able to speak at events, and maybe not this level, but closer to this at level fours and things like that, I've usually learned as much coming on the feedback from different questions I get asked and things like that. And, you know, as I said up there, I think I have a certain belief in philosophies. They're certainly not right. They're just what I believe in. And if that can help anybody in the audience kind of shape the way they coach or shape the way they approach on-ice practice, which is basically what I was talking about, then I think that's a great thing. I think it's a unreal opportunity for that USA Hockey puts on here. You know, I get a chance to listen to other great coaches as well and sit in the stands and be one of the audience and be part of the audience and get a chance to present. It's a really neat opportunity.
Can you talk a little bit about your involvement with USA Hockey? When did it start, and whether it's as a player or as a coach?
I had some involvement as a player. You know, the setup was a little bit different. We used to have some regional camps at Lake Placid when I was playing. I grew up in Michigan, and I had the opportunity to go to a couple of those, which was really cool. Actually, maybe some of my best memories as a young hockey player, and especially to go to Lake Placid then. You know, that was back in the late 80s maybe, so it wasn't that far off of the Miracle on Ice. And where USA Hockey has really helped me is the coaching opportunities I've had, starting with the development camps. I used to be a part of those on a regular basis, and it really gave me my, as I mentioned on the stage, my first opportunity to actually coach. I was an assistant coach right away as a college coach, and you recruit, you do lots of things, but you might not even draw on the board ever. And the opportunities I had in USA Hockey was to spend a week and see what it's like to actually be in charge and be the head coach in certain scenarios, and it was really cool. And then one of the neatest things I've had the chance to do was coach with Eddie Olchuk, being assistant to him on the Ivan Hlinka team, and I thought that term was awesome. I remember getting off the bus in an exhibition in Slovakia and my heart just pounding, thinking this is really, really neat.
Wow, that's great. You know, these guys, they're all students of the game, just like you are. Can you talk a little bit about your coaching evolution? I know you said you were a player, a college player, and then how you went to decide you wanted to become a coach?
Yeah, I was getting my senior year in college. I was a goaltender, and at that point, I knew I was pretty much not going to play. I mean, I hadn't had a good enough last couple of years in college, and so I was looking at do I get into coaching or do I get into, you know, maybe go to law school and do certain things. And my head coach actually at the time, Bob Daniels, approached me in practice and said, would you like to get into coaching? And it's something I think that you'd have an opportunity to potentially be good at. And I really thank him for that. But I was thinking about it at the same time, that was something I really wanted to do. And the interesting part about it, though, is talking with Sebastian LaPlante, who coached at Northeastern for a period of time and is here now. When you first start out, how little you know, though. You think you know lots, and it's not that you maybe not know it, but it's hard, I think, when you start out as a coach to pick certain things up until you've trained yourself over long periods of time what to see. And I think the biggest challenge and the biggest thing that coaches have to get, it's a learned, I think, profession in a sense of being able to teach and communicate and make it a clear picture for the people that you're teaching, how what you want them to do and how to get better. And I think that's the biggest challenge as you move on through coaching.
You know, this is always a tough question to ask somebody who's reached your level, but are there any, because you don't want to leave anybody out, but are there any youth coaches or coaches growing up that really had an impact on you, not only as a player, but maybe that really as a coach?
I'd say two people in terms of youth, especially specifically. And when we won the Calder Cup a summer ago, I had a Calder Cup party, and it was something very important to me that I invited both of these people. But John Ferroni and Bob Brown were my two youth coaches in Sault Ste. Marie growing up, and they did more for me as a person than anybody probably outside of my own parents. They instilled in me a work ethic, a discipline. They held me accountable. I tell the story. I got kicked off my Pee Wee team twice for mouth and back, basically, and they ultimately helped me begin to become a man. I certainly wasn't a man at the time, but what an impact they had on me. And then I've had guys who've had impacts on my own coaching career, and that might be anywhere from my junior coach, Bob Ferguson, but also lots of the people I've worked for and with, whether it was at Miami or at Ferris. I was really fortunate to work with really good people, and we've learned a lot from each other.
And, you know, now you're with probably one of the finest organizations in hockey, in the Detroit Red Wings, so great tradition and great history. Can you talk a little bit about working with Mike Babcock?
I got asked that on stage a little bit. Working with Mike has been a great learning thing for me. I can't even necessarily tell you exactly what I've learned, because I've probably learned so much. I've learned we have great relationship. Where we talk pretty much every week. I watch all the Red Wing games. He calls me and say you know, ask me what I thought. When I have any issues, I call him, and he's just become a great resource. So he's a very, very smart person, obviously, but he's also been through lots of different stuff, and I think he's somebody that can really lend some interesting insight. Now, the thing about Mike is he's not afraid at all to say what he thinks, so it might not always be exactly what you want to hear, but lots of times it's what you need to hear, and I think he's good about that. And I just feel real lucky. I don't know if all the coaches in the American League have the same relationship with the head coach in the NHL, and I feel real lucky, and I can tell you that I've learned tenfold because of my experience with him.
Can you talk, for the people who haven't, you know, obviously didn't have the good fortune of being here down in Las Vegas, can you talk a little bit about your presentation today and the message you were trying to convey?
Probably the number one message, my core of what I am as a coach, from my on-ice approach in coaching, and I think there's a relationship and communication side that's separate, but what we'd like to do is we'd like to develop, drill, maintain great habits so that through practice, mm-hmm. and you do it through practice, and you do it through simple drills, you do it through drilling it over and over and over again, so that when our players play, they can play without thinking, which allows you to play way faster, and you just react correctly to the situation that you're faced because you've been drilled in the right habits. And I have a belief that habits are more important than systems. There's certainly a system approach, and we want to be as a unit of five, but it's those habits within the systems that are critically important. And the thing about it for me is I think it applies at the American League level. I think it applies at the NHL level, but I also think it applies at the youth levels. And there's people in the room that are much better youth coaches than me, for sure. I know that because I've been on the ice with my 8-year-old son. But I do think it is something that's absolutely applicable no matter the age, teaching the little habits that it takes to be a really good hockey player.
Can you like you said, you have a son who plays hockey, and so you obviously have seen some, you know, youth hockey and been around it. Any suggestions you'd give to these kind of coaches, like, you know, don't get too caught up in systems or things like that at a young age?
Yeah, and that's what one thing I said today is teach the habits within the systems over the system. So if instead of teaching forecheck or neutral zone forecheck, teach your young players how to angle, how to take away good ice, force them into bad ice, and create turnovers. That's what a neutral zone or forecheck is. You can't in hockey draw the exact scenario that the player is going to face because it's too much of a fluid game. So teach them how to react properly, and we do lots of it through small games. We do tons of small games where we put guys in situations. For example, we do a half ice, a cross ice game where we divide the ice, and there's a 3-on-2 offensive advantage on one side and 3-on-2 on the other. And what it does for me is it puts players in those little situations where there's a 2-on-1, and it happens all the time in a game. And we want to train our guys to take away the backdoor pass but contest the shot. And you do it through that small game. It's competitive. It's fun. But yet you're training the habit within any system. That's important.
You know, I asked John Cooper this when I talked to him, because he brought it up in his presentation, making practice fun. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you guys are in a business. You're there to develop players. You're there to win. But can you just talk a little bit about how important it is, even at your level, to make a practice that keeps players engaged and that makes them having fun?
Well, it's extraordinarily critical, and it's as critical at our level, it's critical at the NHL level. They're big businesses, there's lots involved, there's lots of things at stake, but your players better want to come to the rink. They better want to come to the rink every day, and they better want to come to the rink, honestly, and get better. Well, if it's boring, if it's not fun, if they're getting beat up mentally every time they come, they're not going to enjoy it. They better want to come. Otherwise, you're not going to improve and you're not going to have success as a team. You can have fun scenarios, and I think small games accomplishes this. And this is just my own beliefs. I think small games allows you to have fun. It allows you to have competitive situations. It's the number one thing our players like in our practices, but yet you can teach off those things. It doesn't have to be just about funsies, but yet fun is a byproduct of it. And I think it's extremely critical. I say all the time, I know for sure that the players, they'll never get a chance to live this life as a player again at our levels, at the NHL level or at the American League level. Why not enjoy every single day of it? Why not absolutely enjoy it? I get a chance to coach hockey for a living. Why shouldn't I walk in every day and really enjoy it? Is there a competitive nature to it? Yes. Is it fun to lose? No. But that doesn't keep us from enjoying every day.
Absolutely. And then the last thing I just wanted to ask about is obviously we're late in August, so right around the corner is the start of another season. Your thoughts about getting ready for another season with the Griffins?
Well, you know, I'm excited. I think you get to this point in the year and you've had the one thing in pro is you get a decent amount of time off. And so I'm excited to get going. I'm ready to get going. Our kids are starting school on Tuesday, so we know it's hockey season right around the corner. And, you know, I feel fortunate, as you said earlier, to work for a great organization, to work for a great general manager in Kenny Holland. And Ryan Martin is my direct boss. And I think they've done a real good job of putting us in a chance to be successful in Grand Rapids. I think they feel like having success in your minor league team is an important part of the development. And so I'm looking forward to it. Every day is a new challenge in the American League. You never know from one hour to the next what players you're going to have and what you're going to have as a team. But we just live day by day. We enjoy every single day of it, and we certainly look forward to it.
Great, great. Well, Jeff Blashill, head coach of the Grand Rapids Griffins, thanks for not only taking the time to talk to us, but for being here at the National Hockey Coaches Symposium.
Yeah, I was really pleased USA Hockey asked me. Thank you.
Great. Well, thanks again for everybody for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.
You've been listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast produced by Norman Hayward and Mark Burns. Be sure to follow us at usahockeymagazine.com as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.